order this meeting of the Mottville Planning and Zoning Commission. If you are able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Secretary, could you please do the roll call?
Yes.
Commissioner Summers?
Present.
Commissioner Kolick?
Here.
Commissioner Paul?
Absent.
In his place, we have Commissioner Mickey Gillette this evening,
okay.
Our alternate.
He's in. Okay. Commissioner Discharge, I am here. Commissioner Pike?
Present.
You are here. Commissioner Stell?
Present.
Okay. Commissioner Terry?
Present.
Commissioner Longton?
Here.
And Chairperson Lundy?
Present.
And Commissioner PBS. He's there too.
Okay.
Only thing we're missing is the poll.
Thank you very much. Before we dive into the agenda, does anyone have any additions or changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the approval of the January 28th, 2024 regular meeting minutes.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll make the motion to approve the meeting minutes from January 28th, 2024.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay. The
Chairperson Lundy.
Yes.
Seconded.
Oh, give a damn. What the heck?
Either one.
Several people.
Take, take a choice.
Thank you.
Next, we'll move on to item six, which is remarks from the public not relating to items on the agenda. So if you'd like to come forward and make a comment regarding anything that is not already addressed on the agenda, please feel free to go to the podium, state your name for the record. Okay, hearing none, we will move on to item seven, which is public hearing. We do not have a public hearing this evening. We also do not have old business. Under new business, we have item 9A, which is 25 site 1 and 2. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 25 site 1, which is 2 and 8 Enterprise Lane 002-005-00B/002-005-00C. The owner applicant is Homes R Us LLC for a proposed site plan modification to include access driveways and loading docks. The application was submitted on January 31st and received February 25th, and a decision is required by May 1st. Meredith, I understand the applicant has agreed to continue this until the next meeting.
They sent a letter on February 25th requesting that we continue it to the next meeting to allow them time to address staff comments.
Great, thank you. So that brings us to item 9B, which is 25 site 2, 145 Route 32 and 18 Powerhouse Road, 070-030-000/070-034-000. The owner applicant is JNE Holdings LLC for a proposed 11-unit multifamily development. The application was submitted on February 11th and received February 25th, and a decision is required by May 1st. And I believe the applicant or a representative of the applicant is here this evening to make a presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you. And if you could just state your name for the record, that would be helpful.
Good evening. My name is Douglas Rich, licensed landscape architect, offices in Bridgeport, Connecticut, with Fuller Engineering and Land Surveying. Is this okay if I use... This is my podium. I believe you all have the original 11 by 17s that I submitted earlier this week, and that packet that was just handed out.
Oh, yes.
Things that somehow didn't make it into that first packet. So it's a top sheet that you have is a phasing plan, which should be slipped inside, and then I neglected to give you the architectural style, I guess I would say. think it's probably best that I just go through these one by one. All right, as you know, the site is comprised of two properties, 18 Powerhouse vicinity, and 145 Route 32, which is accessed from, is this working? Can you,
yes.
Is it my recording? Okay.
From this side here, the two properties,
the intent of this application is to merge the two properties together. An existing two-family house is on Powerhouse, and an existing four-family house is on Route 32. As you can see, that the ground is, it comes up a little bit, flattens out to a knoll on 32, and then it gets steeper in towards the corner of the property here. Okay, so the concept is the entire project is loaded from Powerhouse Road at this location here, makes a dogleg and terminates at a location at the end towards 32. We've constructed an emergency access way, which is only one way in. The intent is to do as little work on 32 as possible. That's why we're carrying all of our utilities and everything comes from this side. We're sort of turning our back onto 32, although Route 32 becomes our front frontage. Therefore, we have the front setback in this area, the rear setback being on this side of the property, side setbacks in here. 11 units are proposed in various phases, and that top sheet that you have, we'll get to that one next, but basically we're proposing to do three phases. Phase one being 7, 6, and 5. Phase two being 4, 3, and 2, and 1, the existing house. And then phase three, the 11, 10, 9, and 8. Each of the phases, as part of the comments that we addressed indicates that none of these phases can be, phases one or phase two can be occupied until all of the units have been built in compliance with the multifamily development. Handicap parking over in this area, each house has some, not a detached, but they are auxiliary garage with locations in between, some cars typically for each one car in, one car in, one car out. Let me go back to my. So basically, we have 16 parking spaces inside the garage, 16 exterior parking spaces, and 9 additional parking spaces for a total of 41 parking spaces. 34 spaces are required. So we have some latitude to either new spaces on this or for guest parking. One question came up. We got the engineering comments on Friday. Didn't have a chance to address those. But one of the comments was asking about refuse collection. Although we show a refuse area here, it would be more for storage of on-site stuff since this is a condominium type association, so the thought being we can control the refuse inside the small trucks and the carting services will be contracted on a project basis, and they'll pick up refuse individually at the curb, not have to have large scale refuse trucks coming through here. We'll talk when I show
showed you the refuse or the phasing tube. We did design this thing for large scale fire access. I'll show you that on the on the phasing plan. That's the fire access here. You can see we have a one-way entry continuing through, and that handles the largest fire apparatus that the town has. So that's how that works. Phasing, we'll go back to phase one, phase two, and phase three. Phase one, as I said before, has the three ones there, 7, 8, and 7, 8, 7, 6, and 5. When I get into the storm drainage, we'll see how that works with the subsurface infrastructure. But just to know here that phase one has its own stormwater detention system with the level spreaders in the back. I'll get into more detail on that. But these three units get constructed. The existing house gets reduced from a two-family house to a one-family house. Two additional units are added to that house in compliance with the multifamily requirement. And this area here gets paved up into this area here. This all gets, well, actually this won't exist until phase two. Phase two, we will protect this with fencing to keep phase one occupancy safe. Renovate this house down from a four-family house to a one-family house. In phase two, we construct the secondary stormwater detention system, which is quite a bit larger, but that will serve phase two and phase three. We also provide provisions for subsurface electrical. Emergency access gets constructed in that phase. All the parking and paving, the main circulation loop gets constructed in that phase. And I think that's ready to say no time. This existing house cannot be occupied until the other three units have been completed. Phase three, again, is the four units on the side here, the southern side. These will tie in, all the roof leaders are tied into the existing, at this point, the existing subsurface stormwater infrastructure, and electrical will be extended into this. The primary conduits will already have been installed under the phase two. Okay, on your package sheet 3.1, I'm not going to get into, we have a number of comments from the town engineer, some of which, the design of this system now is pretty conservative right now. We did testing several months ago, however, the engineer recommended that we come back testing and some percolation testing. That's fine. We do that. We did not take into account any exfiltration on the system. So that means that these systems are standalone systems, and the volume that they're designed to handle all the storm events without any percolation. Pretty confident that when we do the percolation tests, we'll show that exfiltration will actually proved to reduce the system in size. Phase one here, phase one connects up the catch basins along the phase one route. It gets overflow, gets diverted to a level spreader in the back. Phase one, phase two develops the other system. The overflow gets diverted to a secondary level spreader for further attenuation in that spot. The engineers asked for water quality devices to pre-treat the water before it enters these. We're fully going to do that work. So I mean, I think that's all of the engineer's comments are
doable, and we're totally agreeable to
that. Utilities, again, all utilities, all the powerhouse comes into the site. Sanitary sewer connection here is sort of up in the air at the moment. Tried to get the plan and profile from WPCA. They just gave me the tie-in from the house, but actually, when I get this, I can actually calculate the invert. The concern was that we might not have enough pitch on the pipes. As it stands now, it works fine. Electricity comes in off the pole, off the powerhouse, and sanitary, like I said, sanitary goes in there, and the water will come off the powerhouse as well. It comes in the front of the buildings on phase one, but we carry the water behind the buildings on phase two and three. Sedimentation, erosion control, very straightforward in this thing. We've designed two primary drainage swales on the side with diversion berms and filters through there to protect the site during construction, down to a sediment basin down towards the bottom. Stockpiles will be moved around as necessary during construction. I just showed this right now and in that location, but it's fully understood that these can move throughout the site. One of the questions the engineer says, like, this sediment basin is in conflict with the level spreaders, and I guess as you look at the page, that's true, but the intent is to create these things during the major construction. Once we create the phase one, this comes out. The site's stabilized on this side, and we won't need it, and then we'll continue on with the other aspects. Cracking aprons on the street. Once we get all the catch basins in, silt sacks will be installed in each one to further protect the outflow. Just notes and stuff for the erosion control. Landscape plan. I guess we no technical reason or requirement to do this, but we always do in our projects. Flowering trees in the front, some major overstory trees at the entrances to the property, lawn areas in between the units. There's a generous amount of lawn areas and planting areas in between the curb line and the building, so they give a lot of opportunity for homeowner individual unit landscaping. I've also got a lighting specified in locations in here, all dark sky compliant with house shields if necessary. Although I don't see that necessary because our backs are to existing units, so light trespass from this way and that way, and north and south will be minimal. I don't believe these will affect anything. I'm not sure. Last one we did here, I did a lighting plan, but I didn't do a photometric plan. Does the commission require photometric calculations or?
Building department one.
So, and that's basically it. Details are standard. I just want to touch base on some of the architecture. These are conceptual architecture diagrams, not exactly for this project, but the intent. This project is clearly 245 down the street. Three-story building. This is intended to be more of a two-story building. Full basements. The actual architecture you have here are concepts to show a three-story. cells.
Thank you very much. Commissioners, I'll give everybody an opportunity to ask questions. Anybody have something to begin with? I have several questions if no one else is going to jump in. Are these units intended to be rented or purchased? Condos, okay. Will any of them be deeded or reserved for affordable units? Are they all market price, or will there be any? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
The building department is going to tell us that if one or two, but all these units, the way they're built out, it's for sale.
Okay, so one or two of the units will be affordable based on. What's the timeline for completion once everything is approved? How long do you think it will take? And then how long until it's completed?
1 year.
1 year.
I don't like these guys.
Okay.
Microphone.
Thank you for the reminder.
So we've been hung up with Eversource for almost a year now and back and forth. So we, you know, we've got the transformer locations and everything pulled. But.
So for this plan, if all goes well, everything is, you know, perfect, about a year. Okay. Other commissioners.
I got one
Commissioner
question.
Summers.
So if these are condominiums, what about property maintenance, as in snow removal, maintaining
the association?
Yard?
We'll create an association.
An association is going
to
be created.
That's deep across the street. Okay. That's up to 50% of our controller, the owner. After 50% of selling the units, then the association takes over. But we have already association.
Okay.
Declarations in place.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Deschardins?
Yeah, I got one question. It says luxury townhouses. What makes them luxury? You know what I mean? It looks like
marketing.
Luxury, they just throw that word around.
Yeah.
You know?
It's marketing, probably, more so than anything. But I'm going to say, yeah.
They got flush toilets.
Yeah. I mean, it's a better place to live than when I was a, you know, student back in there. But to me, that's luxury, but.
Okay.
But may not be one man's luxury is not another man's luxury.
Yeah.
Any other questions, Commissioner Pike?
So what's the difference between a condominium and a townhouse? You use both words in the presentation.
I think a townhouse is more to a style.
Okay.
Up and down. Multiple floors.
But
the intent is to condominium ownership for this, not a rental. But it's
so condominium ownership in a townhouse style.
Yeah.
Yep. The difference is in the length. Condominiums is one property. Actually,
So these are built with foundations or slabs? Are these on slabs?
Slabs. Some on the where the property goes off, it becomes a high wall or a foundation wall, if you will. But, you know, everything coming in on the first floor, garage areas are all slab on grade.
And for our regulations, these are considered multifamily. Condominium is an ownership,
yeah. Right.
Not a zone.
Well, I was just clarifying because he used both terms.
So we'll look at our multifamily.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Longden, Commissioner Terry, Commissioner Stell.
No questions.
Commissioner Gillette?
No, ma'am.
Commissioner Kobluk? Okay. I think that's it. Thank you very much.
I'm assuming we're not closing tonight?
No.
Because of the magnitude of engineering comments?
Yeah. Correct. We were going to recommend that we continue until our next meeting.
Okay. Yep. Okay. We'll have a chance to get all that in there. And Meredith, you'll have a chance to look at the...
Yep, I'll look at the revised
comment
plans
responses that I did for your stuff. Okay.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Meredith, is there anything additional we should know about the application?
I provided you with a copy of a staff report in your packet where I let you know that the zoning district is the R20, and it's also included in the Route 32 overlay zone. Multifamily is allowed in both the R20 and the Oz overlay zone. Like the applicant said, they're proposing to combine the two parcels to create one lot. That will make it be considered what we have a definition of a through lot, which is a through lot is a lot having frontage on two streets. The front lot line on a through lot shall be designated as the lot line opposite the front of the structure. So I did make sure with that both of the structures on 32, both of those will be facing Route 32. So therefore, we're using Route 32 as the frontage. And the east of the property will be the rear lot because that's the furthest from the front lot line. I have suggested due to... for deliveries and emergency personnel using 18 Powerhouse as the actual address because they'll be accessing it from 18 Powerhouse even though the frontage is on Route 32. I've spoke with the assessor about that. She is fine with that. She said the 18 Powerhouse with their map lot block is what she would like us to use. And that is all I have.
Okay. Thank you.
So you got approximately putting two lots together about 2.75 acres to put it together using the 40,000 square feet for one acre.
The density?
Yeah.
You can have one unit per 10,000.
Well, I mean, a total we got about if the whole property put together, we have about 2.75 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it came to about like 110,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm. And you can have one unit per 10,000 square feet.
Okay.
R20
no problem.
Multifamily. That's how they came up with 11 units.
Okay.
Commissioner Pike?
Quick question. So the 32 entrance exit is going to be for emergency use only.
Exactly.
How are you going to designate it such that
it's going to be gated with a
it's
sign?
It's going to be actual gated?
Mm-hmm. Have a gated community.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. So as it was alluded to, there are a number of comments that need to be addressed. So this item will be continued until next month for a vote. Moving on to item 9C, which is 25 Site 3. It's 1645 Route 85 and 879 Chesterfield Road. 012-009-000/005-015-00C. The owner applicant is Cricket's Corner, LLC, for a proposed childcare center with two second floor apartments. The application was submitted February 11th and received the 25th, and a decision is required by May 1st. And the applicant's attorney is here to make a presentation. So Attorney Heller.
Good evening. For the record, Harry Heller, 736 Route 32, Uncasville, representing Cricket's Corner, LLC. Cricket's Corner is a Connecticut limited liability company. The principals are Roger and Linda Phillips, who you all know has created the mega destination across the street from this property. Cricket's Corner acquired this property in two parcels. The first parcel is about a 5-acre parcel located on the easterly side of Connecticut Route 85. It has an address of 1645 Route 85. It had a single-family house on it, which has been demolished since it was purchased. The second parcel, which is a little bit under 12 acres, has limited frontage on Chesterfield Road. I believe it's 847 Chesterfield Road. Much of the southerly end of the property is encumbered by wetlands. We do not intend to use that for access. There are a lot of limitations in that area of the property. We were before you a few months ago and received a zone change with respect to most of the property known as 847 Chesterfield Road, as well as adjacent property that is owned by Esposito from its WRP 160 zoning district classification to C2. So all of the development that's proposed in conjunction with this project is occurring in the C2 commercial zoning district. The proposal is for a 6,000 square foot daycare facility that would accommodate 51 children with a playground and associated parking area, and two very large apartments on the second floor. Both apartments are about 2,400 square feet, and those are intended for executives of their entertainment facility across the street. So they won't be rented to the general public. Not that they could be, because both uses are uses permitted by site plan in the C2 zoning district. Access to the property will be by virtue of a driveway from Route 85. The driveway is immediately south of David's restaurant. And the daycare facility, as a facility which is not going to require retail exposure on Route 85, is proposed to the rear of the property and is benched into the slope. So access to the daycare on the first floor will be at grade in the front of the building, and access to the two apartments will be at grade in the rear of the building. And we have 7 parking spaces dedicated to the two residential apartments. 5 are required by your regulations, so we have 2 visitor parking spaces. And the parking for the daycare is in the front of the facility, and we have 25 spaces proposed, 22 and a half are required by your regulations. We will have a closed drainage system, so the stormwater runoff will be picked up in catch basins in the roadway. They will have a culvert system with cross culverts here and cross culverts down just to the east of Route 85. And that stormwater will be discharged to a stormwater basin on the easterly side of Route 85. That has been sized in accordance with the new 2023 Stormwater Quality Manual. So that will both detain the peak stormwater runoff to pre-development conditions. You have a stormwater report that was submitted with the application, and it will also treat the water quality volume. If you have the plans in front of you, you will note that there is a stone berm through the basin. So after water discharges from the riprap splash pad, that is the pretreatment area to pretreat the water. It then passes through the stone berm into the detention basin and then is discharged through an outlet structure with orifices based on the intensity of the design storm. The stormwater from around the building itself and the rear parking area, again, is picked up in a closed drainage system, and it is discharged to a second water quality basin, which is located to the south of the proposed building. And again, there is a stone berm in there. The pretreatment occurs to the west of the berm, filters through the berm, detained and discharged at a control rate to attenuate peak stormwater runoff, and then is discharged to the environment. And there are wetlands over to the southeast, so that will filter into the wetland system. We received a number of comments from consulting agencies. Most of them were very minor, but we did receive engineering comments from your town engineer this morning. He has requested that test holes be dug in both basins to demonstrate that we have capacity above seasonally high groundwater to accommodate the full water quality volume in each basin. So we will be doing that over the next month. So that is an overview of the site plan. The building itself was designed by KML Associates. That's Kathy Lacombe. She's the former planner in the town of Preston, and she is a registered architect. You can see it's a very attractive building with the two apartments on the second floor on the north and south sides of the building, and an amphitheater in the middle. That's the front elevation, the left side elevation, and these are all in your plans. Then on sheet A202, we have the rear elevation and the right side elevation. So this is going to be a very attractive building. Like everything else that the Phillips have done in Chesterfield, it's going to enhance their overall footprint in the Chesterfield area of the town. Just going back to the site plan for a second.
We don't have any elevations.
No, we don't have that.
You don't have elevations?
No.
What the heck?
I don't know.
Do we have elevations?
Online.
They were submitted.
Did you put them in their packets?
Commissioner Summers, did you say they're online?
They're online.
They're online?
Yes.
The electronic world.
Well, a bit.
As you can see from the footprint of what we're presenting this evening and the overall developable commercial property on this site, we're going to be back before you. We don't have any immediate plans, but there is a lot of other commercial development potential on this site, and the Phillips, I'm sure, will be eager to maximize the development of this site. So this will be a continuing project in the C2 zone. More than one principal use is allowed on the property. So we'll have the ability to introduce other uses on this property as space, time, and market dictate. With that, I'll answer any questions. And again, we'll need to continue this to the next meeting to allow us to address the engineering comments.
Commissioner Pike?
How large did you say the apartments were?
2392.
So you realize that's the size of my four-bedroom.
Yeah. They're houses.
They're huge.
That's a house.
They're
so
houses.
I'm a little confused here.
These are for their executives at Nature's Odd Dinosaur Crossing.
Hoity-toities.
Okay, that's a very big apartment. Okay.
They have very big apartments. Maybe the largest I've ever seen in Montville.
It's my house.
And we do not have a regulation saying apartments.
No, it's okay. It's just I was thinking my house is that size.
Commissioner Summers.
The daycare, age of the children?
The Phillips are not going to operate the daycare. They're going to rent it out to a professional daycare provider.
Okay. Because I see one of the comments from the billing officials, they're relying on a fire protection exemption, which is going to be very difficult to get. and it's relied heavily on the age group too. So, because if they deny it, then there's got to be a fire pump and water storage tanks on the property.
Well, I didn't mention it, but because of the number of users on this site, the water system for this property is a public water system.
Oh, it is?
It is, yeah. Okay. Anything that has over 25 users is considered a public water system. So this will have to be approved by Department of Public Health. That's for potable water, obviously,
right,
not
right.
for fire protection.
So they may just have to put in the storage.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that'll be an on-site water supply, correct?
On-site water supply, yes.
Any other questions for Attorney Heller?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And as Attorney Heller mentioned, we are going to continue this application until our next meeting to give them an opportunity to respond to all comments. Meredith, before we move on, is there anything you'd like us to know?
I think Attorney Heller addressed it all. This will also be considered a through lot, combining the two properties. Route 85 will be the frontage. Obviously, the building is facing Route 85, so that it meets that regulations. And I put in the staff report also, our regulations no longer have requirements for a daycare. They're taken out, and as far as parking, parking regulations for a child care center, they were taken out in October of 2018. But the engineer used Norwich's regulations, and I did look at Norwich's regulations versus what we did have in 2018. And they had higher requirements. So if our regulations were still in place, that is a higher requirement that they put in there. So I think it's efficient. And it's done by a professional engineer, which our regulations allow for.
Okay.
Other than that, I don't have anything besides what Attorney Heller said.
Okay. Thank you very much. The last item under new business is 25 sub 1, which is 167 Meeting House Lane. 046-050-00B. The owner applicant is Robert A. Tringe and Judith M. Tringe for a proposed two-lot re-subdivision. The application was submitted February 11th and received the 25th. It is before us this evening so that we can set a public hearing. So I will entertain a motion to set a public hearing for our next meeting, March 25th.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, first and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, motion is passed, and a public hearing will be set on March 25th. Set for March 25th. All right, next we have our Zoning Enforcement Officer report. Officer Radford.
Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer for the record. This report is for the period of January 28th, 2025 through February 24th, 2025. There were a total number of inquiries of 148. Total zoning permits that were open at the beginning of the reporting period were 379. Total CZCs, which were issued with field inspections, were 10. Total field inspections, 16. Total zoning permits that were issued were a total of 20, 18 are new, 2 are still pending, giving us a total number of zoning permits currently open at 389. There were 2 new zoning complaints, 13 ongoing enforcements, no zoning complaints have been closed, no new wetlands complaints, we have 2 ongoing wetland violations, no wetland complaints were closed, and we had 1 new wetland application which was approved at the last meeting, and there were no new ZBA applications.
Thank you. Is there anything in particular you feel like we should highlight or anything you'd like us to know?
Nothing specific, but again, to reiterate, if anyone has any questions, feel free to give me a call. I can give you any information about anything specific on my report.
And thank you for adding the information that we talked about last time about applications and permits that have been closed. I appreciate that. All right. Any questions for Ms. Radford? No? Thank you. Next is the Land Use Director Report, of which there is none. Under other business, it does say none, but I wanted to make a quick mention. I did receive Commissioner John Poole's resignation as of today. He is moving to a different community and has informed us that he will no longer be able to serve on Montville's PCC, so we thank him for his service. It is also Commissioner John Estelle's last evening with us. Thank you very much for giving us your time and for your service, and we've appreciated it.
I could be back.
I hope you are. We also have two new old faces, old new faces, both faces.
You just went on sabbatical.
We now have two alternatives, or alternates rather, which we have not had in the entire time I've been on the commission. So we welcome Mickey Gillette and Bill Pinas. Thank you very much for stepping up. We're excited to have you both with us, or back with us. Is there any other business? Nope. Okay. Moving on to correspondence, we did receive a referral dated February 20th from the town of Basra regarding a special exception and site plan approval for a special event venue at 410 Salem Turnpike and 0 Salem Turnpike. What should we know, Meredith?
So this is located, since it abuts the town of Montville, their zoning regulations require that they send it to us to look over. I did look over the information that they sent us. It's going to be a wedding venue, an outdoor wedding venue, and outdoor events. It does abut a residential property, a vacant residential property on Millwood Hill. They have outlined in detail what they're going to be doing, and all music will be turned off by 10 p.m., so I don't see any sound issues. All of the traffic will be on Route 82, which is not going to affect Noble Hill.
Oh, I know where that is.
I don't see any reason why we would want to send any report to them saying that we have any issues with it. It's a property on Route 82.
Yeah, yeah, it's about east of it.
And it's right in their highway commercial zoning district, so they can do.
Okay. Now, it's my understanding this does not require a response, but we can choose to send a favorable response or a non-favorable response. Okay. I'll entertain a motion regarding a response. Would anyone like to make a motion to send a favorable report to the town?
I make a motion to send a favorable report.
Second.
Okay, first and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, we will send a favorable report. Thank you. And with that, I would like to call this meeting to its end and adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Miss you.
Pleasure. Thank you. Just trying to figure out. It's a pleasure.